In a world where bad news seems common, what is some good news that you have received? Welcome again to The Good Word. I'm Brant Berglund, your host and study guide author for our continuing 13-week study of three cosmic messages in the book of Revelation, chapter 14. And today we actually begin looking at the first of these three messages, and we'll be looking at the everlasting good news. My opening question for my conversation partners, Dr. Doug Thompson and Dr. Janice McKenzie, my colleagues here at Walla Walla University, in a world where bad news seems common, what is some good news that you've received? Can you think of something?
Yes. So, you know, really just the fact that Jesus is there for me every day is wonderful. But it's really cool to see him work in other people's lives. My cousin had been through some difficult things in her life, and she had some physical suffering, and she came to my house, and we worked on her wounds. She has actually had a wounded leg, and but she had just quit drinking, and so she was making some changes, and we talked about the Lord and about forgiveness, and she actually listened to a video series on the Sabbath, and recently she called me and said she's looking for a church that keeps the Sabbath holy.
Wonderful.
So that's excellent news to me.
It warms your heart.
Yes.
One of the great joys about working here at the university is that moment when a student comes to you and they're just excited because they got their first job offer, or they're going to get married, or some big event has happened for them that has excited them. And what brings that excitement, of course, is excitement of future, of that they can have hope for the future, right? And that is what you know really is the essence of that good news, is this idea that what is to come is better.
And for many of them, that first job where they put all their energy in and realize, wait, I'm getting a paycheck now rather than having to pay for what I do every day in homework. Yeah, there's something that feels worth it about that.
Well, and payoff for all the hard work and hours and toils and troubles that they've had while they've been here, you know. And
realizing they may never use ordinary differential equations again in their jobs, right? Yeah. So there's a beauty, as a both a pastor and a teacher, both of your examples resonate with me. Hearing people who have made a decision for Jesus Christ and putting aside that old life, and those of my students as well who, well, when they get a call to go be a pastor or a teacher somewhere, and they're so thrilled, and then they call us a year later and say, thank you so much for guiding us through. We are so excited about what we get to do now and helping do the same thing you did for us. And yeah, there's something meaningful about that. There's a lot of good news in our world, even though it's filled with bad news. And I think the media clickbait, bad news is everywhere, right? Everybody
yes.
wants to see bad news. This lesson today focuses on the everlasting gospel. And Janice, you have your Bible open to Revelation 14. Would you read from your version verses 6 and 7? This is the first angel's message.
And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters.
All right, so the first angel's message is given in context of the chapter 13 mark of the beast being given by the land beast and compelling people to worship an image, right? And so we have these competing worships. Now we have in this, and we'll look more at the topic of worship in a few weeks, but today we're going to be looking just at this idea of the angel who comes, this first angel comes with a message. It says he has the everlasting gospel. And it says that this angel is flying in mid-heaven. And I know there are some people who believe in a biblical cosmology where there are three heavens. And they actually have some support for this from the Apostle Paul, who says, I know a man who was caught up to the third heaven, to the very place of God. And like, what is the third heaven if there's three of them? Well, the first heaven would be the atmosphere, and the second heaven would be space, where the stars are, and the third heaven is where God dwells. And perhaps that's what Paul is referencing. But when we hear mid-heaven, it doesn't mean the angels flying through space necessarily. It means more likely the angels flying in the middle of the highest heaven you can see, right? You look straight up, and he is directly above you where everybody can see it. And I know other people people who have tried to say, well, then what you're arguing is a flat earth or the angel is right above this flat disk. It's like, this is simply a figure of speech, right? The angel is pictured as flying in the highest point where everyone can see. And it says he has the eternal good news, the everlasting good news. So when we think about the gospel, when you hear the word gospel, what does it mean to you? The Greek word euangelion is used a number of times in the Bible. When you think of the word gospel, what do you think of? What does it mean for you? Is it a doctrine? Is it a story? Is it, what is gospel? You hear people say, well, that was the gospel truth. Is that what we mean? Like it means absolute or sure? What's the gospel?
I just think it's the essence of life. I mean, it's what Jesus has come and done for us and promised us. And it really is what life actually is. It's, you know, we think of life as breath, but I think Jesus' sacrifice is the reason that we can all live and have hope.
When I think of the gospel, I always think of the Gospels, the four books of the revelation of Christ's life, you know, the experiences he had, the example he gave. So it's always Christ's story and where it leads.
Yeah, the Gospels originally, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, originally didn't have a title on them. In fact, the earliest titles that we have, it just says according to Matthew or according to Luke, and it was the story of Jesus told by each of them in their unique way with, of course, some overlap with the other Gospels. But the Gospel of Mark begins his story by using that exact word, right? Gospel. And he says, the beginning of the gospel or the good news of the Son of God. The word euangelion in the Greek has a history of being used with emperors. When an emperor or a king would have a son, that was euangelion, that was gospel, because now that son could then take over the dynasty, right? Take over the throne. But if that is the way that Mark is using it, that's significant, right? God, the creator of the universe, has had a son, and it's good news, right? The kingdom of God is here. But when Paul uses the word in Romans and Galatians and Ephesians, for instance, he uses it a little differently. He'll say that the gospel, the good news, is more, Janice, what you mentioned, and that is that it is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ taking my place, his sin, or my sin is something he takes upon himself, and the good news is that I'm saved now from my own sin by believing in what he's done for me.
One of the things that strikes me about what you just said is this idea, this tie between good news and judgment. Mm. So often we think that judgment is a bad thing, right? But if you go to the Old Testament, throughout it, you know, the prayers of David, they're praying for judgment.
Right.
Because the only thing worse than living in a world where you're judged is living in a world where there's no judgment and people do what they want and there's no justice. And so here, you know, in the concept of Christ's sacrifice, we also know that we have the advocate who is Christ and that things are going to come out well. So this idea of judgment where finally wrongs can be righted, and we can go on.
In fact, we'll talk more about that exact thing here in a couple weeks when we address the hour of his judgment has come. And it's significant to realize that the gospel plays a central role in the concept of judgment, right?
Yes.
That the good news, like when Jesus says in the gospels, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Who in that culture most needed good news? Well, it was the poor who didn't know from day to day whether they'd be alive tomorrow, right? The good news has a practical relevance to it. And we live today, of course, in a culture where I think we would say that social justice is a kind of a watchword in culture. And justice is something people cry out for right or wrong, you know, not always knowing all the ins and outs of the arguments made. It's difficult sometimes to know exactly how justice should be administered. Mm-hmm. The good news is here, God is able to administer justice. Mm-hmm. The idea that the gospel here is everlasting good news. Now that means that it's maybe a little different than Paul and Mark. There are some aspects within the book of Revelation that the word gospel, the word good news within the context of the whole book of Revelation, is saying something more even about God than simply, if I can narrow it down to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. There's more to it. What else might be good news about God in the book of Revelation that goes beyond. It includes Jesus, but goes beyond Jesus Christ. What can I know about God that's... Is there good news about God throughout history, not just in the life of Jesus? What do you think?
Well, in the context of, you know, the great controversy or this is the end of the story. And it can be everlasting justice because once this judgment is done, there won't be a return to things as usual. And, you know, right now you can go in the world and even if you have the best possible outcome of you go to court and you have your day and justice is done, somebody's punished. Next day you go out there and we're still in the world and bad things are going to happen and you're going to be taken advantage of again.
The same person can
come back and what are you going to do, you know? And it's a constant fight, right? And the idea that no, this is done. This good news is forever. You won't have to keep fighting these battles.
Well, and it reminds me of Revelation chapter 5, as you were talking about in your sermon a couple of weeks ago, Brant, where there's this scroll that no one can open. And it's really the scroll of human experience, of the salvation of God's people. And it's only through Jesus that that can become a reality.
Yeah, the good news is that God has been doing this for us throughout time, right? The work of Jesus Christ that he came 2,000 years ago isn't just a momentary blip on the screen of history. It is part of the role of God in saving people, right? Throughout time, and that is the good news. So the last question, we don't have a lot of time left here, but what part have you played, and this is maybe not directed at you, but more rhetorical. What part have you played in either sharing the good news about God with others or preventing them from hearing it? Does my life reflect God's character to others? And maybe list some things that may hinder us from sharing the good news or what steps you might take to share it more effectively. We're trying to make this practical. In the last minute or so, what do you think? Ways that you've helped in sharing the good news, something that's hindered you?
I think Jesus was very practical in his sharing the good news. You know, he ministered to people's needs, he healed them, and then he gave them the good news. And I think we should follow his example.
Start with practical. There we go.
Yeah. And again, one of the great joys of working here at the university is the chance to interact with students and to have at least a little touch on their own faith journey. And this, you know, so this is definitely our mission filled here. But I'm always challenged by this question because, you know, there are so many ways I feel that I get in the way of the sharing of that good news more than I actually feel like I contribute to it. You know, if only I could let God shine more freely through.
And I think that's all of our challenge. Well, next week we're going to look at the topic of fear God and give him glory. I want to say thank you again to my conversation partners, Dr. Janice McKenzie and Dr. Doug Thompson, for being with us. And thank you for listening in, those of you who tune in each week. For The Good Word, I'm Brant Berglund.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.